You have your Bible, want to turn with us this morning to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter number 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Righteous art thou, Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore art all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of ever filled wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they say, he shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt how thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, and even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul unto the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird, and birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Many pastures have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made mine pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it murmureth, mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come up come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of their revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus again the Lord, thus saith the Lord against all mine enemy, evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord." I want to preach just a little while this morning, if God will be our help, on this thought: promises in proportion. Promises in proportion. As we look at this, and Jeremiah's writing, and now you know Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Jeremiah was calling on God. He was trusting God, but his heart was broken for him and for his people. Amen. We need to come to a place and a point today, youngins, that our hearts are broken, not only for ourselves, but for our people, that they might see Christ and see him high and lifted up. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." We need to lift that the Lord Jesus Christ up to the right hand of the Father where he deserves to be, and to the centermost place in our lives. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God. That's what we need. Let me tell you something. By the authority of word, that's what you need this morning. We need a relationship with him. We need the right attitude with him. We need to come circumspectly before him. There's a whole lot of things. I was thinking as I was reading this, there's a whole lot of things I don't understand. Amen. And I'm sure there's a whole lot of things you don't understand. And I was thinking as I was reading this, Jeremiah was speaking to God and taking through God and speaking to His people. And he was kind of asking the same question that you and my asking in perplexity. Why do evil people prosper? Amen. He said, why does it seem that evil seems to prosper above everything else? It seems like evil and wickedness is just everywhere all the time. And it seems like have you ever noticed it seems like evil gets by with more stuff than goodness does? Amen. Evil people can go to the through the court system and they'll just smack them on the hand, say a few words, send them all right back out. And if me and you was in the same situation, they'd jack us up and throw us under the jail. Amen. It seems like evil prospers in this world today. So the old prophet here, praise God, and he's speaking a message of a broken covenant where people have broken the covenant of God, and he's speaking on this, and he's asking God, and he's pleading with God. Now that word plead here, praise God, is means to contend legally. Legally before God. Coming before God in a legal situation, and coming before a righteous judge, if you will. Amen. I want to say God is a righteous judge. He deals in righteousness. That's right according to His perfect will. God's got a perfect will and God's got a perfect plan. And all we need to do, church, is just fall into His perfect will. Amen. Then His perfect will, His perfect plan becomes part of our perfecting in the righteousness of a righteous God. Praise the Lord. See, can be complicated, but it's not really. We tend to make it complicated. But God's Word is not that complicated when we become Him. But praise God. But we see it's not a legal grievance that we bring before God. Amen, praise God. The grievance isn't against God because we know God's God. Amen, but it's asking a question. Amen. Is it okay to ask a legal question? Amen. If we don't ask, you don't ever know. If you want to know what's right, then praise God, you got to ask the one that knows, that has the answer. Amen. You can ask a bunch of things out here in the world, but amen. And you may be at 10 different people and get 10 different answers. But when you come to the authority and you begin to ask them, amen. You begin to question and begin to wonder and ponder in your hearts, begin to wonder in your life. Praise God. What in the world is going on? Amen. See, we see Jeremiah and he was suffering faithfully for the Lord. Amen. He was it might say he felt like he was a sacrificial lamb. Matter of fact, if you go back up in Jeremiah chapter 11, in verse number 18, he said, "And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it, then thou showest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised the devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered." Amen. They was talking about exterminating Jeremiah. Amen. These folks were exterminators, and Jeremiah was the pest that they wanted to get rid of. Amen. Now, the only reason that they considered him as a pest because he was bringing them the truth of God. He was consistently telling them what thus says the Word of God. Amen. People get tired of that when they're living in wickedness. But he said, but verse number 20 said, "But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek my life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand." Amen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be a remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. So Jeremiah says, I was like a lamb brought before the slaughter. I didn't realize these folks wanted to kill me. Because I was telling the truth of God. I was telling about how much God loved them and how much, because He loved them, how much He expected of them. Amen? I want to tell you, church, this poor church, God expects bigger things of us. He expects us to love Him as much as He loves us. He expects us to magnify His name and His office and lift Him up above everything else in this world. The Lord God of heaven wants to take precedence in our lives. Amen. So He offers us some promises, and those promises is in proportion with the righteousness of God. Amen. So we see Jeremiah, praise God, and he's basically requesting that God just take these people out. Amen. He says, now Lord, you know, I'm trying to do my best to do for You. And I'm just looking at You, God, just take care of the enemy. In verse number 3 of chapter number 12, he says this, but Thou, Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward Thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Amen. So Jeremiah said, Lord, he said, I'd like to just go ahead and pull these people out, separate them, and just go ahead and get rid of them. I want to ask a question this morning. If we take all those sinners out of the world and we just take them out and execute them, would that solve the problem? No. That wouldn't solve the problem. It'd just show a callous heart on our behalf. Amen. Praise God. We're not here to kill them. We're here to minister to them, praise God, the precious oracles of God. Amen. Praise God. We give them the truth of God. Now listen to me. We give them the truth of God. We teach them, instruct them in the ways of God, the righteousness of God, that they can repent and be saved. Amen. What we really do, we take them in righteousness. We put them in the hand of God, which is a righteous hand, because He's a righteous judge. He judges in righteousness. Amen. And if people refuse to receive Christ, refuse to follow God in godliness, amen, then it puts it on their shoulders, not ours. In other words, one day their blood won't be on our hands. Amen. I've had people in all kinds of different situations. They say, well, Pastor, what do you think about this? I said, well, what I think about is that God loves them, but He hates sin. So we tell them what sin is, and we tell them about the righteousness of God and the love of God and how God alone can take them out of their sin and God can love them unto Himself and take them and show them His way. Amen. It's a good way. Amen. Hey, it's not always the easiest way. There's challenges in being a child of God. But what we do, we face those challenges today together for God's glory. We come together in one mind. Amen. We can't kill them. Sometimes you want to just take a ball bat and go around just like that soccer, that gopher game it used to be. Used to love to play that thing. That thing pop its head up, you'd have to knock it back down. It'd come up faster, you could smack it. Amen. Sometimes I just wonder if God wouldn't like to do that with me and you. Just bash us in the head till He gets our attention. But He don't do that, praise God. He speaks to our hearts. That's why it's good to have a good, tender heart towards God. That's the answer. Bashing them in the head and causing harm ain't going to fix it. But it's the love of God shed abroad in their hearts that'll make the difference. Amen. So we see the perplexity at Jeremiah's end. He's preaching his heart out. He's telling them truth, but they don't want to hear it. They've done contrived in their hearts to kill Jeremiah. Amen. He feels like a sheep for the slaughter. You ever feel like a sheep for the slaughter? So, Lord, I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to act and behave right. I'm trying to react right. But I don't always succeed. Amen. Hello. Amen. Anybody else feel like that? But praise God, I'm glad God is on my side. So we see the perplexity of Jeremiah, but we also see the perspective of God Almighty. a different perspective. God's answer is to him is that God's servant, praise God, God's serving and blessing, praise God, me and you is a privilege from God. Did you ever think of your service to God as being a privilege? Being a blessing? Amen. I know sometimes, listen, we take it as a burden. Well, I've got to serve the Lord. I've got to go to church. I've got to sing in the choir. I've got to go to Sunday school. I've got to go to revival meeting. No, see, we're blessed of God to be able to do these things. It's just a blessing of the God, blessing from heaven to be able to serve our Heavenly Father, to lift Him up, to praise Him, to give Him glory. Yeah, if you ain't trying that, praise God, just try it. Just try it on for a week to see how it fits. Amen. I guarantee you, praise God, by the end of the week, you come in here next Sunday a different person. You just start this evening and you just begin to praise God, just give Him glory, tell people about Him, encourage people in the Lord. Now, in order to do that, and let me just back up and say, in order to do that, we're going to have to get on our face and say, Lord, please forgive me, an old sinner. Amen. Say, well, preacher, I'm not all that bad. No, but you're not all that good either. We all sin, come short of the Lord God. We need help every day.
Amen.
Let me get this side over here. We need help every day. Is that because I come over here? We all need help every day. We need encouragement from the Lord to be encouragers to other people, to edify and uplift. It's easy to tear down. Anybody can tear down. But praise God, it takes somebody special to build up. He's telling Jeremiah, he said, hey, Lord, why don't you just go ahead and kill them, praise God, because they're causing me some problems. Hey, Lord, they're killing me. I need some help. But the Lord in His gracious, He said, look, Jeremiah, He said, hey, don't be a complainer. It's a privilege for you to be able to serve me and to magnify me and to let them know how much I love them. And that they can see the love of God in you. Amen. And see the compassion that God has. God says, you just got the wrong perspective. You're so perplexed because you've got a wrong perspective of who I am and what you're here for. Now, I'll just be honest with you. It's a difficult task to be a child of God. Amen. It's very difficult. And to endure, praise God, sometimes it's difficult. It's hard to stay in the battle. It's hard to stay back because you see people already that really don't care.
Amen.
Amen. And it seems like the more you tell them, the more they despise and despitefully use you. Amen. Now, I'm just speaking facts here today. But praise God, when we just bear down and buckle down and just give God the glory. Amen. We're in a race. He said, Jeremiah, you're in a race. And praise God, we got obstacles that we have to face in the race. He compared Jeremiah, amen, to running a race. He said, you've been running a race against men. But he said, this thing ain't going to be easy. He said, there'll come time when it feels like you're running a race against racehorses. Hello? Hey, we've been running the race, it seemed like, against men. But it seems like now we're running a race against horses. This thing's sped up and they've gotten more endurance and there's more strength and there's more power. Seems almost like they have the other side's got more endurance and more power than we do. Hello? If they do, it's not God's fault. If they do, it's God's fault. I mean, it's our fault. That's not God's fault. Because God has given us endurance. God has given us the blessed hope. Amen. He said it's like not only like a man racing against horses, but he said it's about like a land, praise God, that wants to live in peace and has peace. And the swelling rivers of Jordan come along. Amen. You're rested on the shores of Jordan. It seems like you're in a peaceful state, but everything's pretty. Gardens is growing. Things is prosperous. And then the turbulent rains come and the season comes and it will. Amen. Those turbulent seasons in their life will come. I mean, it's just a natural aspect of being human. Difficult times will come. And he said, you're be bopping along and seem to be running well. Down on the shores of Jordan, things is a greening up, things is looking pretty, and then those overswelling floods come. Amen. Hello.
Those over they tend to come down and they begin to overrun the banks, and then you're trying to hedge them off. Amen. You're trying to keep them out of those good spots. Keep them out of your garden. You're trying to keep them out of those things that you've worked so diligently at. But those overswelling floods of the Jordan said they don't care about all that. Their job is to get from point A to point B. Amen. You say, well, Lord, why in the world would you send such a devastation upon our lives? I'm running a race with men, and now I've got to try to outrun horses, and now I've tried to tend by the shores. I pray God in peace, and all of a sudden a turbulent flood comes along. Amen. But it's for God's glory. God get glory out of our life. See, when God begins to get glory out of those difficult situations, praise God, then it takes us unto a higher maturity in the Lord. Amen. We begin to get a new perspective on this thing. We begin to get a godly perspective of where God would have us to be in maturing us as Christians for His sake. Amen. You might say God wants us to grow up. A maturity, praise God, in you and me, for life and for service. For a life of service, to serve God. To worship Him and praise Him and give Him glory. Because after all, this is a place to practice. Amen. We're practicing, praise God, for another day. For a time in glory with Him through eternity. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't know about you. When I get over here, Brother Josh, I don't want to be found lacking in my practice. I want to be sufficient, praise God, to be able to praise God and give Him the glory that He deserves. We ought to start now. I was thinking about Brother Bill was asking me about how to praise or pour testimony in their heart. Amen. As a house of a living God, we are every one of us. We're not popcorn, just jump. Thank God for saving me. Amen. If that's all you could say, praise God, every hand ought to went up, every knee ought to popped up and said, thank God for saving me by His marvelous grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what that'd do? That'd stir us up. That'd encourage people, praise God. Maybe those that didn't feel like that could begin to feel again. Amen. I thank God for feelings. Amen. I know we're not saved by feelings. We don't run on feelings, but thank God for feelings. I thank God for His feeling. I thank God for the feeling of the Spirit in my heart. I thank God for what's real. Amen. But we see a perplexity in Jeremiah. We see a perspective of God. But then we see the people. Bible begins to speak of us in verses 6 through 10, speaks of a people that's dependent. You say, well, preacher, isn't it good if we're dependent on God? Yes, it's wonderful if we're dependent on God. But he said what they're depending on wasn't depending on God. They was depending on the temple. Hello? They were depending on the temple. See, if you go back to Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah chapter number 7, verse number 4. Look what he says. But verse number 3 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. And that's verse number 4, what he says. He trusts you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Amen. But God says, hey, listen, you say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, but he said the Lord has he's done left the temple. Amen. Hello? He said, you can say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord all day long, but God, he said, these are not true words because God has left the temple. He's not there. Amen. Help us, Lord. Amen. He said, trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. He said, it's the enemy that's done this. The enemy has brought in these words. These enemies has caused you to put your trust and your faith not in the God of the place, but in the place where God ought to be. Amen. Listen to me. Coming to church won't save you.
Amen.
Going to getting baptized won't save you. But coming to the church and falling in love with Christ and being saved and born again, praise God, born from above and baptized in a recognition, praise God, of turning your life over to Him, come out of death and rise up in newness of life to Christ Jesus. That's what saves you. And it's those saved people, you, me and you, in the house of God that makes a difference this morning. Amen. We can see salvation in the Lord. Because just worship in the temple, it won't save you. Because if the temple is empty, amen, the temple has to be full of God. He said, but the enemies have come. Look at verse number 9. My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird, and birds round about are against her. Come, ye assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Amen. He said, the enemy has come in, amen, and they come in like vultures. They come in to devour, eating up, praise God, like eating corpses. Amen. There's no life in it. In verse number 10, he says this. He said, many pastures have destroyed my vineyard. They've trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Amen. The promises of the portion, praise God, the promises is here from God if we'll just trust it. But he said, these people have come in, there's just like strangers that's come into the vineyard and into the garden, and they just stomped it down. Amen. I'll just say this. People today don't have any respect for anything.
Amen.
He said, preacher, I didn't believe it. People wouldn't come into it. They wouldn't destroy the vineyard. They wouldn't stomp down the gardens. I beg your pardon. A few years ago, I come in and somebody had went up to the house, they had opened the gates, they had rode through with a bicycle. Amen. Left the gates open, went into the garden, rode the bicycle through my plants to the end of the rows. They've been destroying it as they went. Now they could have rode down the rows between the vegetables if they wanted to, but they didn't want to. They rode down through the vegetables, rode down through the things I'd worked hard to plant. Got to the other end, took wire cutters, cut my neighbor's fence, set the bicycle over and rode through their place up to the end of the pasture. Where they got to the place, then they cut the fence again. Amen. That's what the devil does. The devil is a destroyer. The devil don't care nothing about the things that we have, that we work hard for. I can see Jeremiah's discouragement when he's dealing with these things, praise God. But I told Teresa, I said, you know what people need? They need the love of God in their hearts. If people had the love of God in their hearts, praise God, they'd have a different, the people would have a different perspective, praise God, on the perplexity of life, and they'd turn their life to Christ. They wouldn't do those things. The reason we have so much crime and violence in the world today is because of our promises are out of proportion. Amen? The promises are not ours, not God's, but they're ours. Our promises won't amount to nothing. That's why these strangers are still doing these things. But thank God that we still do have the promises. Amen. We have the promises of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We see the promises of God in verses 11 through 17. We see the promises of God, praise God, in His chastening power. That power to make a difference in people's lives. You say, well, preacher, what difference does that make? Praise God. Because that's what leads to salvation. When God begins to convict your heart and show you that you're no sinner and you need a Savior, that you're going down the wrong path and that path leads to destruction. Amen. That we need to change paths. But we see how God Almighty is compassionate. Verse number 11 said, they have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. In other words, God, he says, you know what? The people are not taking this serious. Amen? You know what's wrong in our country today? People's not taking it serious. What's causing the problems today? Why there's so much wickedness, so much sin? Why Malachi has to chase these people down every night is because of sin. Amen? Because of an evil heart. Thank God, I'm glad, praise God, that there's a God of heaven who can chase them down and catch them. And when He catches them, praise God, He changes them from inside out because God is a God of compassion. Amen? He said, the spoilers are come upon high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land, and no flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of their revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. You ever come to a place you say, my goodness, why did I do that? Amen. Brother, I look back on my life and there's many, many, I know you are all better than me, but I look back on my life many, many times I say, my goodness, why did I do that? How foolish that was that I done that. Amen. I'll just be honest. These things that I done, stupid things I done that I'm ashamed of. These things I done that people that knew about it, I think, and they've died and went on out of here. And I thank good Lord that they're gone. Did you laugh about that? But I it was so silly, so ridiculous, unmindful of the God of heaven. And I'm glad they're gone because they're the only ones who knew about that. And praise God, I'm glad I hope they went on to glory, but I'm glad they're gone. They can't tell on me. Of course, Jesus knows. Amen. I done repented all that a long time ago. Put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brought it before Him. Asked Him to save me from my sins. Praise God. But we see how this thing plays out. He said, because it lies in the heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, He says, but thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of the land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. God said, I've got to do some separating. Amen. See, that's what God does for us today. He separates us out. He calls us out, calls us unto Himself. See, God don't lift you up out of that mess. Don't lift you up that He won't bring you out. He don't leave you dangling over the mess that this world's in today. He'll bring us out and bring us unto Himself. That's His promises. But thank God He's a God of compassion. Amen. Because His compassion never fails. Look at Lamentation. Lamentation of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 3. Verse number 17. He said, Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength, my hope is perished from the Lord. But He says, remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Watch this, verse number 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Those times when I messed up, those times when you messed up, we could have been consumed by the judgments of God, but God Almighty had mercy and compassion on us to the forgiving of our sins. Amen. Praise God. Devil won't do that. The devil just keeps bringing them up to you all the time. All the times that you mess up, all the times that you come short. Verse 22, Lamentations 3. He said, it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because of His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And now watch this. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Praise God. That's the promises of God in proportion that God gives us. Praise His name. So we see the mighty hand of God, the promise. Amen. He promised to judge the invading nations, but He also, praise God, in His compassion. Praise God, He also promised to free Judah from her exile, to bring her back into the land, to kid. And you know what God did? He kept His promise. Amen. He has kept His promise. He always does. So we see the perplexity, we see the perspective, and we see the people, and we see the promise. But then we see this prophet, this old man of God. Amen. Praise God as he calls out to God. And he's, you know what he's doing? He's asking God for an explanation. Amen. He said, Lord, I just don't understand. He said, I don't understand why the wicked are prospering. I don't understand why things is going the way they're going. So God has to begin to explain it to him. He has to begin to give him the right perspective to the right people, praise God, so they can take the right message. Praise God. So this prophet, amen, God would meet his need according to his promise. That the promises, praise God, the promises that he offered, the promises had been given. And the promises had been sustained in the Lord. Amen. It's just the grace of God. That's what He does. Amen. So when we can't answer, when we can't answer the question, why? You know, why, Lord? Why are the evil people prospering? Why is evil always so prominent? Why, God, don't you just go ahead and... Well, what do we need to do? God says, well, we just need to trust God, because His promises are in proportion. He said He won't put on us more than we can bear, but with it, He said He'll make a way of escape. That's promises in proportion. Praise God. That some way, somehow, in a little while, that we can trust in His promises. Amen? The ultimate goal is for you and I, you and me, us, to put our faith and trust in the promises of God. And He promised us that when it's all said and done, when it's all over, that everything will be okay. Because one day in a little while, the writer of Proverbs, he said, come away, my beloved, my fair one, come away. That's the promise of God. He said, one of these days, He'll call me and you, born again believers. He said, He'll call us out of here, call us unto Himself. Amen. And he told Jeremiah, he said, just stay in the good fight of faith, boy. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Because God has already made us promises. Promises in proportion to His mercy and His grace and His love. Amen. Praise God. The thing to do, young, listen to me, and I'm done, is just to stay with the Lord. Stay as close as you can get and get closer day by day. Seek to draw nigh unto the Lord. And He said He would draw nigh unto us.